Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah.
You say,
yeah, yeah.
Believe it.
Yeah, yeah.
You say,
if you say,
hallelujah, hallelujah, Shabbat Shalom, Yisrael. I'm your brother Ariel, bringing you once again Hebrew culture from Kol Elohim here in Baltimore, Maryland, out of the congregation Beth Yahweh, bringing another segment, the fifth segment into the judgments of Yah, the judgments of Yah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Toda once again for allowing me to speak, Abiyah. Thank you for that. And thank you for allowing everybody to get home safely, Father. Thank you for that. And allow me to move out the way and you come through. You come through and give your people what they need to hear, not me, not me. So let me open up with a brief prayer real quick in the opening benediction. Hallelujah. 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 Shalom, Abba Yah, and to Yisra Al. Thank you, Abba Yah, for opening the Shabbat door, Father, for allowing us to come in. Woo, it's like the Shabbat door has been open for 2 days straight. Thank you, Abba Yah. Thank you for these four double Sabbaths, Father. Thank you, Father. Prayerfully, you'll give one of your morays or someone the understanding of why it took place like this, Father, because nothing happened just for happenstance, Father. That you'll give us the understanding behind all these, for lining them up like that, Father. But you the one lined these things up like that. Though we have watchers, Father, we know they couldn't line them up the way you line them up, Father. They are going by your spirit, Father, being led by your spirit, Father, and your spirit led them to count the feast days as it is because they watch your clock, Father. So thank you for those brothers who all watchers who watch the clock, Father, faithfully, Father, and bring us to these feast days, Father, that only you can line them up the way we have been lined up, Father. Only you can show proof in the season we are doing it on your appointed times. Your appointed times at your time, Father. Thank you for that, Abba Yah. Father, I ask and pray for all the elders, Father. Those who are ailing, Father, in any kind of way, Father, that you touch and heal them, Father, that you revive them, Father, in any way that they're feeling down and low, Father, that you renew their strength within them, Father, for the Emas, Father, that you renew their strength, Father, for the Akotis, Father, you continue to give them the wisdom to run the household, to run the everyday lives of their family, Father, to be that Isha that the household needs, Father, to be that Yahushua in the house, Father, to be that, Father. For the ox, Father, that you continue to strengthen them, Father, in wisdom and mercy and in grace, Father, so they can run their home, Father, in a merciful way and have grace when they sit down with their kids and wisdom when they talk to people, Father. So you continue to bless them with that, Father. For your Marines, Father, to give them everything, Father. Give them everything. Give them the full, another dose of your Ruach, Father, because the burden that's put on them, Father, is not hard, but it ain't easy at the same time, Father, because they put their lives on a hold to toil in your word, Father, weekly, daily, Father. So continue to bless them, Father, with your wisdom, Father. Continue to be Aya, Asha, Aya to them, Father. All that they need you to be, Father, continue. For we know Israel looked to the priest, Father. They should look to the priest anyway, Father. We know what the priest meant to Israel, Father. Renew that in Israel, Father. Renew the importance of your priesthood, Father. Renew that to the priesthood. Renew that to the people, Father. The importance of the priesthood. Renew that. Father, we thank you in your holy and precious son name, Yahushua. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Amen. Shabbat Shalom again, Israel. Shabbat Shalom, your brother Abba Yah. We here with judgments of Yah and Todah Aki. I didn't got to talking and forgot to even ask about that. But hallelujah. Thank you, Aki. Thank you for fulfilling a need, even if it ain't asked. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We here in the fifth installment of judgments of Yah. And just before we came on, I just went through how many lessons that we have on Blog Talk. And I got to say we have been blessed. We have been blessed with a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of understanding, of lessons, a multitude of lessons. You know that Today is the 984th episode. Tomorrow, Brother Harrell, we'll have the 985th episode, 15 episodes away from 1,000. 15. I said, wow. This weekend, after this weekend ends, we'll be 15 episodes away from 1,000. 47 followers on Blog Talk for Cole Elohim and listened. We have 26,250. And I thought that was all because, you know, 15 episodes away after this weekend, and if you add up 26,250, you get 15 again. So I just said, hallelujah, hallelujah. And what Abba was just showing me is we have been blessed. We have been truly blessed with a lot of not just knowledge, but wisdom. Because you can have knowledge all you want, but if you don't know how to use the knowledge, you don't know how to apply the knowledge. And that's what Abba has been giving his Marie for. I don't know how long we've been doing Blog Talk. Somebody may know. I don't know. It didn't have a date when it started. I was looking for that. But I believe my sister Malcolm may know, because y'all always started with her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it's 984 episodes on Blog Talk. 900. I keep showing, oh, wow, 2009. Throw that. 2009. We started to, amen, hallelujah. The brother just said it started in 2009, but that was with the sister. That was with the sister. Sister Malcolm started, I believe, in the first year. She started first. And after that, we started in 2010. But altogether, we have 984 episodes. And 47 followers, 26,250 listened to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in essence, it really give us no excuse. It give us no excuse because there's a wealth of knowledge there. Whatever we want, and trust and believe, we covered almost everything. A lot of these lessons have been brought out and just renamed in so many different ways, and I would have added on what he has already given us. And he does that always for those who are seeking, those who are looking. He just adds on what you already know. He takes you into a deeper understanding of it. Which really opens up your faith first and foremost for him, and what it that should open up your faith first and foremost to him, and give you reassurance that his word is true, that his word is true, and we can trust in it. We can trust. Just think about it. Think about being able to trust in the word of Yahweh. Even when it hurts, when it stings, when it don't feel good, trust them that it's for your good. And that's almost seems like an oxymoron. How somebody beating you or doing something to you that hurting your feelings and emotions in one way or other, it's for your good. How is that, Israel? How is that? Because at the end of the day, is what Yahweh gave Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi earlier, it's about salvation. It's about a plan of salvation. And yes, I got to beat him every now and then. Abba is saying to us, I got to, because he's hard-headed every now and then. He's stiff-necked every now and then. He wants to walk his own way every now and then, so I got to tap him. Because at the end of the day, I want him to have salvation. I want him to believe in the words that I give through my Morays, even for the Moray that's speaking. I I want him to believe in that. I want him not just to believe in it, to have faith in it, to act on it, to live by it. Because it's salvation at the end of the day. It's salvation. And as the mantra has been, the talk has been for these last couple of months also, is we taking back a lot of what the world looked at Christianity and give them, quote unquote, credit for. We taking that back. That belongs to Israel. Salvation is for Israel. Everybody else who take hold of Israel, right? That's what belongs to you. Singing and dancing and giving honor to Abba. That's an Israel. That's an Israelite thing. It's not a Christian thing. That's an Israelite thing. That is something that we have done throughout our generations. Our generations. We have always sang. We have always danced. We have always been a part of our nature. But we know that the halal, he gets in and he flips it all around. If we don't give singing and praising as a nation of people to Abba, we give it to him. Hello, to the devil. But we have always sang. We have always praised. We can go into Psalms and it says that our captors wanted us to sing while we in out there working or doing whatever we have to do while we walk in captivity. Sing a song, Israel. Sing. Happened over and over again. So you get here, the slaves are singing to that mighty one, that Ruach, that spirit within them, reminding them of home, reminding them of where they come from. Always sing, we always praise Abba Yah. The faithful fruit, that is. The faithful fruit, because we know as a whole, we was fools, right? But there's always a faithful few of Israel. And my question or my rebuttal to those who always got something to say about how hard-headed, stiff-necked Israel is, and they call themselves Israelites, what are you doing to uphold the name of Israel? What are you doing to uphold the honor that was bestowed upon you and your ancestors? Don't look back at Israel, as was said earlier. Today, don't look at nowhere else. Because, again, we're going to stand in that line of salvation by ourselves. There will be nobody there. And then even at this time, Yahushua won't be able to stand up and judge for you. Now, you'd be standing up there by yourself. If you weren't not one of the lucky ones, or the blessed ones, we don't believe in luck here. Or the blessed one to turn in the twinkling of an eye from here when Yahushua cracked that sky. But like what I said earlier, you will still have an opportunity to get right in that millennium that Yahushua returns. You'll still have an opportunity to get right. Because at the end of the day, he did not want nobody to lose salvation. Man don't get salvation is because he chose not to. He chose not to. But what are we doing to uphold that honor that was bestowed upon us? This is an honor. This is nothing to be taken lightly. This is an honor to be chosen by the Most High God. Sometimes we need to sit back and really think about that. Really think about that. To be chosen by the Most High God. Remember when you wanted to play on the team and you got picked and how excited you was to play on the team? You went down there and maybe you tried out for basketball, you tried out for football, whatever, and you walked down there and you looked on that board and your name was on there. How excited you was because you saw your name. But even in that is the physical lesson, a spiritual lesson in that physical, right? Because you go there and you don't see your name. How crushed you was. How crushed you was. That's just like you do all this work and you hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for you didn't make my team, for I never knew you. Right? Right? That good feeling you get from being chosen or picked on the team. How much more should we feel honored for being chosen? That's not an easy thing. That's not a light thing to look at. Just sit back and meditate on that alone. And then just go through this world system for these little things, right? The job that you wanted, you got, right? You fill out the application. And you feel good when they call you back and say, hey, I got a job. The Most High gave you a job, right? Just the world, we always got to, we're supposed to be learning from this world system, right? Everything across the board we can learn from in this world system because it's ours. It's all his. It's all his schedule. It's all his plan. Everything is his. And let me start running off at the mouth just so we can get into this. And this one, remember we talked about last week, these last three will be woe to the nations. Woe to the nations. And we went through judgments. We've been going through judgments and how Israel is going to be judged first. But if Israel going to be judged first, who going to be judged last? Who going to be? We're going to get there, though. We're going to get there. We're going to show that to Scripture, too. But who going to be judged last? Is Israel going to be judged first? Because there's the first, it got to be last. And trust me, it ain't the nations. It's not the nations who going to be judged last. I didn't already get an answer for those Bible students who know. Let's go to, the WEBA. That's what I'll be reading out tonight, family, to the opening scriptures. And we're going to Jeremiah 8. That's been our mantra, 7 and 8. And this has been the thought. Because the thought is for Israel, y'all need to know my judgments. Y'all need to know my Torah. Y'all need to know the signs of times. Yahushua set his Talmudim down, told them about some times, and told them to watch, told them to beware of these things. So if you're going to be aware of something, that means you have to watch. You have to see what's going on in this world system. He sat there in Matityahu or Matthew 24 and throughout the Gospels and warned his Talmudim. And it's written, if it's written down, it's also to warn us. The whole book. Didn't tell Yeses Cal or John. Some of the book, you know what, eat a little bit of that book. And that little bit right there is going to be sweet to the taste and bitter to the belly. No, he didn't say that. He said, eat the whole book. Whole book. Whole of my word. The whole of my word. Eat all of it. Not some of it. Not as with Brother Shabbat on board way back, buffet in the world. You can't do that. Can't eat some of it. Eat the whole book. Everything in there is for our learning. Everything in there. Everything. Jeremiah 8:7. God knows her appointed time. The turtle dove, the swallow, and the crane observe the time of their coming, but my people don't know Yahweh's law. How do you say we are wise and Yahweh's law is with us? But behold, the false pen of the scribe has worked falsely? And that's a legitimate question that Abba is asking. How, and Israel is what we could call Israel is an example, one way or another, to the world, right? One way or another. They're an example. Either we're going to be examples for good to the world, or we're going to be examples for bad to the world. You know, and if the scribes is writing falsely, then we example bad to the world. We're showing the world, as the scriptures say, how to sin. But it's his mores and his prophets, his prophetess, his morals, they doing what's right. That's an example to the world. So Abba can be justified in whatever judgment he bring upon this world. Nobody will ever be able to stand up in that day of judgment in the court, as we have been looking at for these last 5 weeks. We have been looking at a court system. Will ever be able to say, "Don't know. I didn't know about you." Not one single human being on the face of the planet will ever be able to say that. When they get there, that will not be their argument. It will not be. It's too much that witness to who he is in this world. Too much. But earlier, Brother Yaki L started going into Exodus, and I was like, oh, no, ain't going the way I was going. No, but I would do what he do, right? I got a chance to talk to my brother a little earlier, and I was telling him about that lesson. And it's just beautiful how he connects things. Things how me and Brother Yaki L ain't taught. And that's my fault, because he was heavy on my heart the other day, and I meant to call him. But life, and we can't always use that as an excuse, but that's my fault. Forgive me for that, Brother Yaki L. Should have called. But we started off last week in 2 Ezra 15. We went through that, and we learned some things. And we saw a lot in that, if you remember the lesson. If not, it's in the archive. Go back. And if it's something that we talked about, we're going to read it again. But right now we're going to start, and we're going to start off with a thought. Exodus 9, 1 through 17. Exodus 9, because again, remember, we in the woe to the nations. Woe to the nations. So let's go to Shemot 9, 1 through 17. And let's get this start. Because we build it, right? It's a journey. So stay tight. Stay close. Keep your pens and pencils ready if you got them. Or if not, do what I used to do. I used to just listen to lessons over and over again. Over and over again. And if you can be able to stop it and pause it and go to the scripture, and as he going to the scripture, Rabbi Gershon McDaniel will go, I will go. A lot how I learned. So I learned a lot. Then Yahweh said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and tell him, this is what Yahweh, the mighty one of the Hebrews, says. Again, we want to start. Romans 7:14, for we know that the Torah is spiritual. And a lot of teaching, if you don't know, well, we're going to just tell you, if you're new to this channel or may listen later, Pharaoh, Egypt points to the world system. Israel points to the people of God, right? The people of God, they living in the world system, they captive in the world system, right? Which we can all actually see today, right? Satan, right? He points to the devil, who has control over God's people, or Yahweh's people, excuse me, family. Yahweh's people. So whenever you hear Moray go back into Mitzrayim, either he's just gonna give you the straight what it means right there, he also can give you the spiritual understanding of it too. so you can see a little bit more deeper into what the scripture is saying. Abba can do that, right? He can do that. That's his word. That's how he wrote his word. So it is not only physical, but there's a spiritual understanding we also get. Then Yahweh said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and tell him, this is what Yahweh, the mighty one of the Hebrews, says, let my people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and hold them still, behold, Yahweh's hand is on your livestock, which are in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the herd, and on the flock, with a very grievous pestilence. Yahweh will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, and nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. Yahweh appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow Yahweh shall do this thing in the land. Yahweh did that thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died. But of the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. Pharaoh sent. Behold, there was not so much as one of the livestock of the Israelites dead. But the heart of Pharaoh was stubborn, and he didn't let the people go. Yahweh said to Moses and Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the sky in the sight of Pharaoh. It shall become small dust over all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking out with boils on a man and on animals throughout all the land of Egypt. They took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it toward the sky, and it became a boil breaking out with boils on man and on animals. The magicians couldn't stand before Moses because of the boils. The boils was on the magicians and on all Egyptians. This is very important. Again, we want to translate that. We want to bring that up to date. The magicians couldn't stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boils was on the magicians and on all the Egyptians. Yahweh hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he didn't listen to them. And Yahweh had spoken to Moses. Yahweh said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and tell him, this is what Yahweh, the mighty one of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go that they may serve me. For this time, I will send all my plagues against your heart, against your officials, against your people, that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. We're going to get there, though. But we are going to get there. Because remember what we, if Israel is going to be judged first, we're going to be judged last. Are going to get there, because it's building up to this judgment. Let me read that 14 again. For this time, I will send all my plagues against your heart, against your official, and against your people, that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. Now, I will have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, and you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, I have made you stand to show you my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Somebody wanted their name to be great, right? As you still exalt yourself against my people, that you will not let them go. You can finish reading that. I just wanted to read that. We wanted to get that part. That you still exalt yourself. We talking about the nations right now. Still exalting themselves against his people. Have not the, they are still talking behind closed doors. Cut the name of Israel off to break the bands of Israel so we can never come together. But guess what? Yahweh put that in his Moray heart. Spearhead that. You pick up the spear where I had gave what I had gave Gershom Ben Daniel. And you go with that. So you can bring what Israel bands back together. So you can keep some of the bands together. And not break the bands of the Israel of Yah. Let's keep going. We just wanted to get that out there. Pharaoh, Egypt, children of Israel in bondage. Yahweh came down. He saw the, he heard the cries. He sent 10 plagues. We could have went through the 10 plagues, but we didn't want to go through that because that was for them. What about now? What about now? What is Abba doing now? Do he not see his people? Do he not hear the cries of his people? Do he not see the bondage that we are in today? The captivity that we're in? Do he not see the demons coming and constantly coming at us? Do he not see these things? Yes, he does see them. And as the brother brought out earlier, I got to keep bringing that back up because he gave a plan of salvation. He gave a plan. So let's go to 2 Ezra, back to 2 Ezra 15. We're only going to read two verses with this one right here, 2 Ezra 15. We're going to read 2 Ezra 15, 10 and 11, 10 through 12, three verses. Behold, people is led as a flock to the slaughter. I will not suffer them now to dwell in the land of Egypt. But I will bring them out with a mighty hand and with a high arm and will strike the Egyptians with plagues as aforetime, and I will destroy all the land thereof. Let Egypt mourn the foundations thereof, for the plague of the chastisement and the punishment that Yah shall bring upon it. We could have went through all 10. Continual chastisement of his people, right? Let's read it. I ain't got to remember. Behold, my people is led as a flock to the slaughter. I will not suffer them now to dwell in the land of Egypt, but I will bring them out with a mighty hand, with a high arm, and will strike Egypt with plagues as aforetime. That word right there. As aforetime, strike Egypt again. Brother Yaquiel started, we're not like, oh, no. And he touched on something, and he touched on an answer. Question Abba gave me. Because when we look at this, and we're thinking about it in this day and time, that Abba Yah going to bring these plagues. This last year, there was an abundance of locusts going throughout the world. The crops throughout the world, and people ain't seeing these things, seeing the hand of Yahweh moving. But he said, my people do not know my law, do not know my judgment. Look at these things as it's just happening. Not so for Israel. It should not be so for Israel. Israel should see these things, and that should immediately their mind back to Egypt. Oh, something going on. Abba, what's going on? What's going on? Right? But today, he said, as aforetime, I'm going to bring them plagues back. One of the things that skips our mind, Brother Yaakov touched on it earlier, but he didn't touch on it in the vein and the thought that Abba was giving me. The question that he gave, right? What saved Israel the first time in Egypt, right? What saved it? We're thinking about the plagues, right? About he's bringing them again, and he's going to judge the world with the same plague, right? But again, what saved Israel? Yaakov read some of it earlier, and we're going to go back and read it again. Repetition, right? That's how we learn. But the thought is, when the plagues went out, what saved Israel? I want to know that. Because obviously, like he did before, he's going to bring it again. We better know what saved Israel, and we better stay within those borders. Stay in those borders inside. I'm just going to say it. We're going to read it. The blood. You better stay within the blood. If he did it a fourth time, and he's going to bring it back again, and if saved Israel last time he did it again, it's going to save Israel again. Let's read it. Let's go back to Exodus. Yaakov read it earlier. I'm going to read it again. Repetition. Because again, that was for then. This is for now. Exodus 12, 1 through 13, family. 1 through 13. Again, this is not my words. This is the words of the Most High. Do you believe it? Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aharon in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be to you the beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And I was like, oh, my God. Yeah, I'm bringing that out. But he went through all the feast days, right? This lesson been done since Tuesday. Abba gave me this Tuesday. I was able to sit down and get into some things. And he's like, hey, when you get home, because I was driving, doing my van run. He was talking to me, when you get home, sit down at the table, and let's finish doing this. Let's finish this out. Hallelujah. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a land according to their father's houses, a land for a household. And if the household is too little for the land, then he and his neighbor next to his house, shall take one according to the number of the souls, according to what everyone can eat. You shall make your count for the land. Your lamb shall be without defect, a male. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goat. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at evening. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel, on the houses in which they shall eat it. They shall eat the meat in that night, roasted with fire and unleavened bread. They shall eat it with bitter herbs. Don't eat it raw, nor boil it at all with water, but roast it with fire, with its head, its legs, and its inner parts. You shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, but that which remains of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. This is how you shall eat it, with your belt on your waist, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. Eat it in haste. It is Yahweh's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt in that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, and both man and animal, against all the mighty ones, all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am Yahweh. The blood shall be for you a token on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And there shall no plague be upon you, be on you, to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Think about Ezekiel or Ezekiel 9. When you go into Ezekiel 9, I believe we read down from 1 through 7 or 1 through 9 in Ezekiel 9, and it talks about six men coming from the higher gate. Right? Remember, we read that earlier. Remember, we went through that when we first started Ezekiel 9, talking about how putting a mark on those who sigh and cry. What is the mark? Because, again, these men that are going through with destroying weapons are coming through to kill all those who are wicked, all those who are not upholding the word of Yahweh, right? But those who are holding on to the blood will be saved. Yeah, we'll go over them. And, yes, we're not excluding those who have to be martyred for the word of Yahweh. There will be those who are martyred for the word of Yahweh. And we go this way, and we go this route. And the thought that I was giving me when I was thinking about it on the way home that day is prepping. And he was like, hey, and this is not a strike against prepping, because, yes, we should prep. Yes, he said prep. Yes, he said consider the ant, all you sluggard. And the thought behind that verse is, watch how the ant move. Watch how the ant gather all that it have to gather in the summer. When they winter months, he down there, as was told before, partying, eating and drinking, having himself a good time, because he put the work in when there was time to work. Story of Joseph down there. Yahweh told him how to prepare for a famine. So, yes, we can. Yes, we should prepare. Yes, we should prep. But that is not the end all be all for us. The most important thing is you have to have the blood if you're coming back with the plagues again. The world system is going to come against us. We have to have the blood. We have to be sealed. Then you go into Revelation, Hazan. It talks about some locusts coming up out of the ground. Will be stinging and hurting mankind. All those without the seal of Yahweh, again, a mark. Mark. Seal. Yes, yes. Prepare as much as possible. Yes. I am a champion for that. I uphold that 110% if that is possible. I have been. We teach that here. Yes, but the most important thing that you should have is the blood. Your doorpost on your lintel. Your forehead into your mind. The filter of your mind. Be able to filter out all this world. Down the lintel, down the doorpost, right? What you're listening to, what you're hearing. Of your soul, right? He said, look, go up, go down, bam. Make sure the blood across that. Or if you don't have it, I don't care if you're Israel or not. The angel of death coming in. So death is coming. I can care less if you are Israel or not. Because, again, it ain't about just being Israel. So I'm a champion for that. I know one of the things, my four things is Israel. It ain't about just being Israel. Because when you go in Yeshua's, when you go in to Ezekiel 9, talking about Israel. Israel. started in my house. Remember when we went through that? Go back and read it. That's Israel. They go throughout, slay utterly, male, young man, woman, child, old woman, young woman. It don't matter. If you do not have that mark, slay them. Oh, that's a hard deal. People don't want to hear about no mighty one slaying people. They don't want to hear about that. They don't want to hear about it. They want to hear about being raptured. They want to hear about we going to be all right because he ain't the mighty one of the Old Testament. Huh? They don't know. The worst part, Israel don't know. That's the worst part. Israel don't want to hear about it. Israel don't want to hear these things. What do you say? Come over here with that judgment stuff. You teach us. You preach to us smooth things. You tell us what's going to be good. You tell us about blessings. You don't come over here and tell us about no judgment. Israel. Want to hear about that? The world. Today, again, we bringing it up today. What do Israel want to hear about that? We agree with the Christians. Cut the book in half and just read the Psalms. Right. We cut it in half. Cut all that out. Just go with the Gospels and on forward. But when you get into the story of Yahushua and who he is, to bring peace on his earth. Man. Or should we excuse that? We shouldn't even talk about that. We shouldn't even bring that up. Because that's a mighty one to love. He the one brought love in the world. Right? He brought the love. That one in the Old Testament. Woo, he was a tyrant. He oh my goodness, he's terrible. That's why I like the one in the New Testament. What? They're the same one? He just came to bring mercy to the world, to bring or open a door so we can come in. They're the same one. The one in the quote-unquote old, because there's one word. We don't believe that here in Beth Yahweh. We know that there's one word of Yahweh. There's no old or new. It's not. There's no old or new. It's one word. The whole of his word. Bereshit to Hazar. Genesis to Revelation. And all the apocryphal books with in between that could be substantiated, right? You got to add that in there. But you got to have the blood. You want to be sealed. Want to move forward, you got to have the blood. You got to have the blood. So let's go back to 2 Ezra 15 and read from 1 to 9. This ain't going to be long, family. Ooh, excuse me. And it's a myriad, it's a multitude of scriptures to talk about this judgment. We didn't even get into Yeshua's yet. And there's so much about this judgment. We didn't get into it. So much. 2 Ezra 15, 1 through 9, 7. Behold, speak you in the ears of my people the words of prophecy, which I will put in your mouth, says Yahweh, and cause them to be written in paper, for they are faithful and true. Don't be afraid of their imaginations against you. Don't let unbelief of them that speak against you to trouble you. Why he got to tell Ezra that? He told the same thing to Jeremiah. Why? When he's sending them to Israel. Why do he have to tell the prophets to don't worry about their imagination? Don't worry about their faith. Don't care if they don't believe the word that I am giving you. Just say that. They don't want to hear it. If they don't want to hear it, let me read three again. Don't be afraid of their imaginations against you. And let me tell y'all something. I'm going to speak for myself. I'm quite sure some of the other Morays probably can say the same thing. When that word be coming out and it's cutting, woo, and you could see the looks. If you was in them shoes of the Morays and see the looks of the people when that word coming out and it's cutting, I've been up there and I had to look. At all. Because at that moment I was speaking what Yahweh gave me to speak. But our word is true. People will look at you. Kill them. They can kill you as if it's your word that you are speaking when you are reading from the word. At you with such hatred, business. It's your word that you're talking. We all been there. I've been on that end too. When my toes were being cut and stomped on and beat and all that, drag, drug, all that. I've been on both sides. You just want to, you know what, I shouldn't have never came in today. I should have stayed my behind home. That's how you feel. But is our word true or not? Look at you. Go from your own experience. Is our word true or not? If he said it, I believe it. Right? Israel don't want to hear about these things. They don't. They don't want to hear, tell us, move things. Don't be talking about us. Don't be pulling out cards. You think it's the Moray pulling your card, or you think it's Yahweh pulling your card? Which one? Get my glasses. Let me out here somewhere. Oh, I got them. Let me finish this off, Sammy. Somebody probably been hung up by now, but that's all right. Don't be afraid of their imagination against you. Don't let the unbelief of them that speak against you trouble you. For all the unbelievers shall die in their unbelief. For all the unbelievers shall die in their unbelief. Oh, yeah. This is the Most High. For all the unbelievers shall die in their unbelief. This is what Abba just told the prophet. Behold, says Yahweh, I will bring evil upon the whole world, sword and famine and death and destruction. For wickedness has prevailed over every land, and their hurtful works are come to a fall. Remember when Israel was promised the land of Goshen, right? The land of Israel, promised land. They was promised that. And one of the things that Abba said, that the Hittites, the Jebusites, and all those nations, what happened? That they were sinning so much. And that's a question for us. That's a question for each and every one of us, right? Because we're going to add on it. We're going to continue to build with it. It says the fall of their iniquities has came to a fall, right? So before Israel can go in there, all those seven nations that was there first, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, y'all know the rest. Go in the Torah, y'all find them. The sin, whatever they was doing, the iniquity that they was committing in the land, it had to come to fullness. It had to come to a point where the I would say, all right, once we get here to this level, that's it. After that level, I'm coming down. I'm doing something different. So we go back into Sodom and Gomorrah in those five cities. Something happened. Something, it said the stench came up, nostrils. So again, mankind has been sinning. And Abba have given mankind time to either repent or destroy. How do we know that? Is that not scripture? Yes, that is. Because we go into when Jonah, right? Jonah had to go to Nineveh. He said, I'm going to destroy you, Nineveh. Why? What can we learn from this right here? We're learning that Nineveh's sin was about to tip over. Was about to get to that tipping point or to the point where obviously once they get here, you know, he's looking from the spiritual. Once they get here, I'm going to destroy them. Go down there, Jonah, and let them know that they're about to get destroyed. But what happened? They repented. Continue to build on that. If the Ruach is moving, right? The Ruach is moving. So what did Abba say? I'll throw your sins in the sea of forgetfulness. Hey, now you start all over. Start all over. But again, we are here. The fullness of sin is coming again. That's when Abba moved. When the fullness, when he set a limit for each and every one of us. He gave Brother Shaul that understanding. That's why Brother Shaul, Brother Paul wrote, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You have this allotted month. Once you get right there, your grace have abound, and now y'all, we got to come down on you. If you have not repented, right? Put that in there. But then, so that's for grace. But you mean, tell me, we can abound grace. We can take grace for granted and keep thinking we're going to keep sinning and keep running the aisle asking for forgiveness. No, that's not going to happen. The merciful, mighty one that we all know and love is not going to happen. We ourselves don't want to be taken for a fool, right? How much him? How much him? Not want to be taken for a fool or for granted. And that's the teachings of the world, right? The teachings of the world is all you got to do is keep saying, I'm sorry, keep saying, forgive me. And he just going to keep forgiving you no matter what you did. He just going to keep turning a blind eye. No, that's not what scripture says. So we continue in sin that grace may abound. Second Ezra 15:6 again, family. I'm going 1-9. For the wickedness have prevailed over every land, and their hurtful works are come to fall. Whatever their iniquity was, whatever the limit that Abba had put on them, is at a fall. And he said, this is for, behold, says Yahweh, bring evils upon the whole earth. This time, we have moved way past just little Egypt, past Babylon. We have moved past Nineveh. We have moved past all these, Sodom and Gomorrah, all these nations, right? This thing have come to a full for the whole world, the whole world is running out. His grace and mercy scratch that from the record. His grace and mercy can never run out. The limit he has set on those things is running out. For mankind, but his grace and mercy can never run out. Five again, let me start with five again. Behold, says Yahweh, I will bring evils upon the whole earth, sword and famine and death and destruction. For the wickedness have prevailed over every land, and their hurtful works are come to a full. Just look at the world. Look at the, is he lying? Is he making things up? Look at the world. We ain't just, look beyond United States if possible. Look beyond that and what's happening in the world. Look beyond it. Seven. Therefore, says Yahweh, I will hold my peace no more as touching their wickedness, which they profanely commit. Neither will I suffer them in these things which they wickedly practice. Behold, the innocent and righteous blood cries to me, and the souls of the righteous cry out continually. Again, we coupled that with Yeshekel, Ezekiel 9, when he said, put that mark on those who sigh and cry for the abominations. And he just said it again. For the innocent blood, for the righteous, cries out to me. No different than Brother Abel Blood was crying out to him from the ground when he had to come and visit Cain. All righteous blood cries out to him, especially when they've been killed or murdered innocently. But his sons and daughters that are alive and all this wickedness around them, and each and every time we get down on our knees or we pray and we pray that our kingdom come, that we're crying out to him. We, our spirit, our ruach, part of all this wickedness around us, it is pulling at our spirit constantly. So that right there is a hint for those who are not crying out constantly about this wicked world. You want Abba to move, cry out against it. Pray for his kingdom to come. Sure, when you say, pray thy kingdom come, pray your righteousness come in this world system. Pulling at my ruach is pulling at my spirit. Overwhelms us at times, but he strengthens us. Get back up, and we continue to fight. And the souls of the righteous cry continually, crying within. As he said in Yeshekel, sigh and cry for the abominations that's going on around us. Nine, I will surely avenge them, says Yahweh, and will receive to me all the innocent blood from among them. So again, yes, the blood, but there will be murder, martyrs. There will be some killed for the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, for being righteous in this world. Because just as much as we cry out against the abominations and all this evilness around us, the wicked cry against us. Cry against us. They can't stand us. They can't. One more place to go, family. And that is in Dabarim, Deuteronomy 32. And we're going to finish out with that. Dabarim 32. Starting at verse 26 to 43. And again, woe to the nations. We just read the fullness of the wickedness is coming to a full, family. It is coming to a full, the fullness of the wickedness. All that they're doing to this world system. All that they're doing to the world system. And to his people, most importantly. I have said that I will scatter them, and this is Abba talking about Israel, right? This is Yahweh talking about Israel, talking about how they was hard-headed, stiff-necked. He's speaking through Moshe. This is Moshe speaking. Moses, for those who don't know Moshe. He's speaking through Moses, and he's saying what Abba going to do. He even saying how Abba called this barbaric nation. He's going to show how he called a barbaric nation to be his punishment to Israel because Israel had got so hard. But listen to this. They went a little too far. I said that I will scatter them afar. I will make their memory to cease from among men. I said that, right? I said that I'm going to allow them to forget me. I'm going to allow that to happen. Listen to it. Were it not that I feared the provocation of the enemy, lest their adversaries should judge wrongly, lest they should say, our hand is exalted. Yahweh has not done all this. This is what he's saying to the nations that he allowed to come, put his people in captivity. This is what he's saying. Oh, look, man, I did this. But y'all, as the enemies, my battle was, as what I have used to scatter my people, what I have used to terrorize my people, saying your heart that I had nothing to do with it. Y'all gonna say in your heart that it was our strength that went and took the most mightiest nation on the face of the planet.
That's Israel, that little bit of people, how they the most mightiest?
Because who that mighty one is. Who they serve, the most mightiest ones on the mightiest nation on the planet. You know that. But here's the thing. We got to set the brothers and sisters out here in the Israelite community that so have so much hatred for the quote-unquote white man. They're giving credence to what Abba is just saying. They are so mad at the white man, thinking that it's his strength that gave us or put us in captivity. It's his strength that where we are at today. And Abba is just letting the enemy know, hey, man, I fear that y'all will go into your own heart, into your own mind and say, this is my strength. You ain't do this. You had nothing to do with this. But because of the hatred, for them, they're giving credence to this. They're not looking at, they had no power. That white man, that earth, no other nation at all, that African nation, the Hamites, they had no power over us. It was given from Abba Yah. But because of their hatred for all the other nations that may have had us in captivity, they give credence to this right here. Not giving it back to Abba Yah and not properly repenting for our ancestors and ourselves. When you have hatred for another nation, that's what you're doing. Credence to this right here. It's right. Abba, you had right to fear because it wasn't your hand. It was them other nations' hand. It was just a little bit mightier than you. That's what you say. When you're so caught up in Esau, he has no power. They got to be taught. They have to be taught. I was raising up men and women to be those good teachers to the world because they don't see what they are doing. Let's read that again. Let's start at 26 again. I said that I will scatter them afar, make their memory to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the provocation of the enemy, lest their adversaries should judge wrongly, lest they should say, our hand is exalted. Yahweh has not done all this. We give power to the enemy when whenever we say that he is doing this. Whenever we say he is doing this. I want to thank my brother for his motivational speech earlier today, Brother Hollow. Hallelujah. Give honor where honor is due. 28. For they are a nation void of counsel. There is no understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. And even for the Israelites, let's get those who are talking about Esau and so upset with Esau, that you will consider your latter end. Because you're so focused on him, you're forgetting your mighty one who allowed it to happen. Let's read that again. Oh, that they were wise, that they would understand this, that they would consider their latter end. How could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight unless their rocks have sold them and Yahweh have delivered them up? Listen. Listen to what he's saying to the nations. And to those who give credence to their power, who are so caught up in Esau. Chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, unless Yahushua had sold them and Yahweh had delivered them up. Their rock. We know who the rock is. We know who the rock is, right? Unless he had opened the gate and said, here, come in, wolf, and get all these sheep out of here. Stood back, opened the gate, and allowed the wolf to come in. For 10,000. Another thing, right, that just came to mind, and I believe the boy Kanye, he said something when he was in the White House with Donald Trump, and he said he didn't believe in slavery because of, I believe something to the fact of, how could these little bit of people overpower all these people? Y'all remember when he said that? When he was sitting there with dumb Donald with the mega hat on? And he said he don't believe in slavery because how could this little bit of people overpower or keep subject all their slaves? When it wasn't a whole bunch of slave masters, it wasn't a whole bunch of taskmasters at that time. This is how, Kanye, this is how that could happen. Doubleen 3230. How could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock have sold them and Yahweh had delivered them? That is how that little bit of people can subjugate all them people. Or these taskmasters can subjugate hundreds of people when there's only one or two riding around, right? Because their rock have sold them at that time. For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemy themselves concede. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are poison. Their grapes, poison grapes. Their clusters are bitter. Their vine, the poison of serpents. Their cruel rhythm of apes. Isn't this laid up in store with me, filled up among my treasures? Vengeance is mine, and recompense at the time when their foot slides. For the day of their calamity is at hand. Their doom rests at them. For Yahweh will judge his people and have compassion. Sees that their power is gone, that there is no one remaining, shut up or at large. He will say, where are their mighty ones, the rock in which they took refuge, which ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink often. Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your protection. And he's talking about all those false mighty ones that Israel picked up, right? See, now that I myself, there is no mighty one with me. I kill and I wound and I heal. There is no one who can deliver out of my hand? I lift up my hand to heaven and declare it lives forever. Hold up. Who's talking here? Who's talking? And that's just food for thought. Let me read it again. Who's talking? See now that I myself, ye, there is no mighty one with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. There is no one who can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and declare, as I live forever. Who's talking? That's those for those who know, right? We talk about that another time. We get together. For I lift up my hand to heaven and declare, as I live forever, if I sharpen my glittering sword, my hand grabs it in judgment. I will take vengeance on my adversary, and will repay those who hate me. Ah, my arrows drunk with blood. My sword shall devour flesh with the blood of the slain and the captives. From the head of the leaders of the enemy, rejoice you nations with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants. He will take vengeance on his adversaries and will make atonement for his land and for his people. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, book, keep that blood on your rock. Keep it. Keep that blood. That is the end of my portion today, my blog talk, what Abba Yah gave me. And Shabbat Shalom, Israel. Let me get to the benediction and go back. Go back over those scriptures tonight. Let it marinate more. I know Abba Yah showed y'all some things. You always do. You always do. Go back and hear him speak. This is your body. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Yisrael with shalom. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. So that once again, Abba Yah, for your word. Thank you, Father. Abba Yah, I ask and pray that your word drop on fertile ground, Father. That it grow, that it come, that it bear fruit, Father. That it bear fruit and continue your seed, Father. Let it continue within. Let it drop in this ground and that ground and those mouths and those hearts and those minds, Father. Let them take your word out to the world, Father. For we need not the world, no excuse, Father. Let them tell somebody about the blood of Yahushua, what it can do for them, Father. That in these last days, more important than anything you must have is the blood, Father. Let them tell somebody about your son, Father. Let them tell somebody about your salvation, Father. Let us tell the world who you are. In your holy and precious son name we pray. Yahushua. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, Yisrael. Shabbat Shalom. I'll be to the world.
I will trust in you and know that you are with me forever. I'll confide. share.